إن الحمد لله نحمده تعالى ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فقال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى بعد أن ذكر الطائفة المنصورة إلى قيام الساعة أهل السنة والجماعة أن اعتقادهم هو الإيمان بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله والبعث بعد الموت والإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره. شرح ابن عثيمين رحمه الله، he says: هذه العقيدة أصلها لنا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في جواب جبريل حين سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما الإسلام؟ ما الإيمان؟ وما الإحسان؟ متى الساعة؟ The Prophet, the Sheikh rahimahullah said, Ibn Uthaymeen, that this aqidah of believing in Allah Azza wa Jal, His angels, His books, His messengers, resurrection after death and the preordainment, whether the good or the bad, this particular creed was established and founded by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the answer that he gave to Jibreel. Everybody knows the famous hadith of Jibreel. It's the hadith number 2 in the 40 Nawawi, right? Where Jibreel came in the shape of a form of a man with extremely black hair, very white clothes, didn't look like he was traveling. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the questions. The second question was, after he asked him, Mal Islam, the Prophet ﷺ told him the five pillars of Islam. He said, Mal Iman, Akhbirni an al Iman, tell me about Iman. This here, the Prophet ﷺ told him, Iman is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the day of judgment and preordainment, the good and the bad of it. So, we learned this aqidah from the Messenger ﷺ. And he said at the end of the hadith, this is Jibreel who came to teach you the affairs of your deen. This was the objective of the question. So the Shaykh said, فَالْإِيمَانِ قَالَ أَن تُؤْمِنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْقَدَرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِهِ. طيب. الإيمان بالله. We start with the first pillar of faith, believing in Allah. We will see what that entails. الإيمان في اللغة يقول كثير من الناس إنه التصديق. فصدقت وأمنت معناهما لغة واحد. He said, linguistically, iman, many people say it means to faith. Let's translate iman as faith. We will see why. He said many people translate faith, iman, as believing. And they say that whether you say I have faith or I believe, they are synonyms. They are the same. Linguistically, the Shaykh said, وَقَدْ سَبَقَ لَنَا فِي التَّفْسِيرِ أَنَّ هَذَا الْقَوْلِ لَا يَصُحْ لَا يَصُحْ لَا يَصُحْ عَفْوًا. He said, and we have established earlier in the tafsir that this particular understanding is incorrect. It's incorrect. They're not synonyms, belief and faith. In English they are, but we will see what is intended now. بَلِ الْإِيمَانِ فِي اللُّغَةِ الْإِقْرَارُ بِالشَّيْءِ عَنْ تَصْدِيقٍ بِهِ. Linguistically, iman is to acknowledge something based on believing in it. So it has an extra step. It is having faith is not only believing because you believe, but you have to acknowledge that belief. And the reason why we say this, because if we don't, then we could say that Satan is also a believer. Did he not know that Allah is one? He knows Allah is one. He seen the angels, he was worshipping with them. He knows them, he believes in the messengers, he was there trying to misguide the people. طيب. He has all the pillars of faith in essence, in terms of tasdeeq. But, iman is al-iqrar bil-shay, يعني to acknowledge it, and that entails some sort of work on your behalf. The Shaykh will explain that better. But I'm just trying to give you the preview. حسنا بدليل أنك تقول. He says the evidence for that is that in Arabic you say آمنت بكذا, I believed in such, وأقررت بكذا, and I acknowledge such. وصدقت فلانا. You say and I believe in a, in English they're gonna sound the same. I believe in a person. You don't say I have faith in a person. You don't say I have faith in him. I faith him. You say I believed him. But yet he's trying to show the distinction between belief, which is in English we understand that it's faith. But now the Shaykh is being elaborate on the actual difference, and we will see why. So if we're going to translate to English, which you probably never heard before, now we are making a distinction between faith and belief. And we're trying to prove that faith is stronger than belief. Faith is the result of belief plus acknowledgement. Acknowledgement plus belief equals faith. So then you have faith in Allah. Otherwise belief may be insufficient, because Satan also believes, but it's insufficient. So you have to have the extra thing, which is acknowledgement. That acknowledgement will force you to do some things based on that. طيب إذن فالإيمان يتضمن معنى زائدا على مجرد التصديق. The Shaykh رحمه الله said, so faith includes an extra meaning that goes beyond simply believing. وهو الإقرار والاعتراف المستلزم للقبول أو للقبول للأخبار والإذعان للأحكام. And it is the acknowledgement and the submission that entails acceptance to the information, the news, whatever has been given from information, and submitting to the rules. So for you to really have Iman, first you have to believe that there's, of course, whatever you are supposed to believe in. Furthermore, that belief should develop into more things, such as you accept anything that comes from Allah. Once you believe whatever you read in the Quran or authentic Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, you believe in. طيب. And not only that, you implement it. You are subdued by the rules that Allah has laid down. This is the difference between a true believer and otherwise. Because the shaitan, this is where he failed. He believed the belief of recognizing the presence of Allah Azza wa Jal and that He is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. But that belief did not translate. It did not translate into acknowledgement. And that acknowledgement which entails that you accept everything that and you obey. Shaitan didn't obey. When Allah commanded him to prostrate to Adam, he became arrogant. So his tasdeeq, his belief did not elevate to faith. It was belief, it was missing being subdued or accepting the rules of Allah and believing in everything that Allah said and acknowledging that, then all of these as a combination make faith, which is Iman. جيد مفهوم؟
كما قال عز وجل معيش
لبس
وقالت العرب أما نقول لم تؤمن ولا قولوا أسلمنا
نعم
ويدخل إيمان في قلوبهم.
بارك الله فيك. Wanna translate this to English؟ I'm not going to try to do that. طيب. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, أيوه نعم. هذا الإيمان. This is إيمان. This is faith. أما مجرد أن تؤمن بأن الله موجود فهذا ليس بإيمان. But just to believe that Allah exists, that's not إيمان. حتى يكون هذا الإيمان مستلزما للقبول في الأخبار والإذعان في الأحكام وإلا فليس إيمانا. Until this belief entails that you accept all the information that is given, that has been revealed, and you obey and you submit to all of the rulings, otherwise it is not considered true Iman. It is only believing, but it's not faith. And we're looking into faith. طيب. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, والإيمان بالله يتضمن أربعة أمور. Believing in Allah includes four categories. This is important now. When we say we believe in Allah, in case someone asks you, what do you mean you believe in Allah? There are four things that we believe in. الإيمان بوجوده سبحانه وتعالى. To believe that Allah exists. That's the number one step. To believe that Allah exists. Number one. Number two, الإيمان بربوبيته. أي الانفراد بالربوبية. To believe in the lordship of Allah. Meaning Allah is the only Lord. We already studied that, right? Who could remind us? What does it mean that ربوبية? Some of the qualities of ربوبية. I was about to pause it and say, we're going to get embarrassed, man. I'm going to say the brothers don't know anything. Alhamdulillah, you said something. Tell you what else? We said there are three distinctive qualities that usually the rububiyyah is known by. One of them is al-khalq, creation.
He maintains the affairs.
Al-tadbir, arranging the affairs of the creation. And one more. This is mine. Al-mulk. Al-mulk, sovereignty. Everything belongs to Allah. Everything and everyone and everything. Subhanallah. Allah is the owner of everything else that exists. Everything He created, He owns it. These are the three distinctive qualities. That's what we mean by rububiyyah. And we agreed before that the disbelievers agree with us. They say, yeah, Allah is the creator, Allah owns everything, Allah arranges the affair. Jew or Christian will tell you the same thing. Here's where they fall short. Third category now, believing in Allah that He exists, number one. Furthermore, you believe in His attributes, in His rububiyyah, lordship. Third, you believe, وَالْإِمَانُ بِإِنْفِرَادِهِ بِالْأُلُوهِيَّةِ. You believe that Allah is singled out in worship. That is Islam, right there. That is the distinctive quality of Muslims that no one shares with us on the planet. Really. No one on the planet shares with the Muslims this category of Tawheed, which is worshipping Allah alone. Somehow they make up other gods with Allah. Whether equals or lesser, they still have some sort of gods. طيب. Fourthly, وَالْإِمَانُ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. To believe in the names and attributes of Allah, which is this book is about. This book, this aqidah, is about the names and attributes of Allah. طيب. So these are four things. Anyone can repeat them off their head? Right there, Shaykh. First things first.
Creation.
To believe that Allah
exists.
Yes. Now, then?
Rububiyyah. Names and attributes.
Khalas, he beat you to it. But you have a book and a pen, he doesn't.
Yeah, that's why.
Hey, so you should get one next time, inshallah. Hey. طيب. إذا الشيخ يقول لا يمكن أن يتحقق الإيمان إلا بذلك. إيمان cannot be established and fulfilled unless you have these four. You cannot deny any one of them. فمن لم يؤمن بوجود الله فليس بمؤمن. Whomever does not believe that Allah exists, then of course you're not a believer. ومن آمن بوجود الله لا بانفراده بالربوبية ليس بمؤمن. Whomever believes in Allah but that Allah is not the only creator, sustainer and all this, then he's not a believer. يعني he thinks there are partners with Allah who sustain and who create and who own and have a sovereignty. ومن آمن بالله وانفراده بالربوبية لا بالألوهية فليس بمؤمن. Also, whomever believes in the existence of Allah and believes in ربوبية, the qualities of lordship, but does not believe in uluhiyya, ليس بمؤمن. He is not a believer. ومن آمن بالله وانفراده بالربوبية وبالألوهية لكن لم يؤمن بأسمائه وصفاته فليس بمؤمن. Likewise, whomever believes in the existence of Allah and the attributes of lordship and uluhiyya of worship, but denies the names and attributes of Allah, is also not a believer. وإن كان الأخير فيه من يسلب عنه الإيمان بالكلية وفيه من يسلب عنه كمال الإيمان. Although regarding the fourth one, there's depending on the disbelief of a person, his disbelief in the names and attributes of Allah may be complete, what it takes him outside of faith, or it may be deficient, or maybe يعني small, which will make his faith deficient, but he will still be a believer. So they may have some misconceptions about the names and attributes of Allah. It doesn't necessarily take him outside. But if they don't believe in the names and attributes of Allah completely, then they are no iman, like anyone else who doesn't believe in Allah, period. طيب. Now the Shaykh rahimahullah will start to elaborate on al-iman biwujudihi, to believe that Allah exists. إذا قال قائل ما الدليل على وجود الله عز وجل. If a person says, what is your evidence that Allah exists? This may sound like a valid statement to a lot of philosophers and people who try to be يعني, on the other note, who lack faith, because they want always things to, you know, they want things they could use their five senses with. And this is a misconception that they have. They have to either see it or hear it or eat it or taste it, any of these. If not, then they don't believe the thing exists. Of course, you turn around and tell them, do you have a brain that thinks? Have you ever tasted your brain? No. Have you ever seen your brain? Even if you see the flesh, have you seen the way your brain functions? No. Have you heard your brain? يعني where it was speaking outside? No. Do you have a brain? Yes. Or you probably don't. It sounds like you don't, huh? That's just, you don't have to see it. Anyways, I'm using this from another sheikh who put it this way. I'm only copying him. It's not my own creativity. But it was very good. He has a CD about this where a philosophy teacher with the students, and he winds up having a debate with one of the students who proves to him that Allah exists. Very interesting. I just copied him. Alhamdulillah. Anyways, hopefully it was funny. قُلْنَا الدَّلِيلُ عَلَى وُجُودِ اللَّهِ الْعَقْلُ وَالْحِسُّ وَالشَّرْعُ ثلاثة كلها تدل على وجود الله وإن شئت فزد الفطرة. He said the evidence we have for the existence of Allah is three things. Then he will add fourth. He says العقل, the intellect, والحس, and the tangible things, والشرع, legislation. He said, and if you want, increase one, add one, الفطرة, natural disposition, natural inclination, the way you were born. The natural way you born, nothing that was adopted, something that was default, by default in the son of Adam. فَتَكُونُ الدَّلَائِلُ عَلَى وُجُودِ اللَّهِ أَرْبَعَ. So then the evidences that Allah exists are four. العقل, intellect, والحس, the tangible things, things that are felt, يعني from يَحِسُ الشَّيْءِ, الفطرة, the natural disposition, والشرع, and the legal, يعني the legislation. وأخرنا الشرع لا لأنه لا يستحق التقديم لكن لأننا نخاطب من لا يؤمن بالشرع. He said, and the reason why we put, now look how careful the Shaykh is رحمه الله. The reason why he mentioned the شرع at the end, although you would want to put the شرع at the beginning, because this is a revelation from Allah. This takes precedence over your mind, over your understanding, over your natural disposition. This is the number one. He said, we only put it at the end because not because it doesn't deserve to be in the front, but because we're assuming here you're speaking to a disbeliever, a person who doesn't believe in shara. So you want to deal with him with things that make sense to him. You tell him the Quran, he says, I don't even believe there's a God. You tell him about the Quran. So you have to prove to him that God exists, you're assuming he's an atheist, through things that he may understand. That's why the Shaykh mentioned shara at the end. Now he will break it down, rahimahullah. فَأَمَّا دَلَالَةُ الْعَقْلِ فَنَقُولُ هل وجود هذه الكائنات بنفسها أو وجدت هكذا صدفة؟ As for the intellect, do we say that all this creation, did it bring itself about? Did it create itself? Or did it come by coincidence? It's one of two things. Either it created itself, and Allah will mention some verses. Allah Azza wa Jal deals with that in the Quran. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ Subhanallah. We say one sahabi, يعني, when he heard this verse, he became a Muslim. Because there's no other option. Either they were created by someone else, or they are the creators. If it's either one, then Allah created you. And so if Allah created you, He's revealing this revelation for you so you can become guided. So that sahabi became a Muslim, as far as I remember. Wallahu alam about the authenticity though. Nonetheless, it's one of the two things. Either they brought themselves into existence, or they came by coincidence, by some sort of chance, some big collision, and oh, boom, all of a sudden everything is in perfect order. فإن قلت وجدت أو وجدت بنفسها فمستحيل عقلا ما دامت هي معدومة. If you say that it was brought about on its own, he says intellectually, يعني, this is impossible. Because it didn't exist. You have to exist to bring into existence. If you never existed, how did you bring into existence? What was there that, you understand what I'm saying? This is it tickles the brain. If you don't exist, how are you going to come in order to bring you into existence? You don't even exist. So somebody must have put you into existence. You cannot be on your own. That's common sense, man. If somebody doesn't understand this, they're on vacation. Tell them to come back. طيب, كيف تكون موجودة وهي معدومة? How can it be existing when it's non-existing? It doesn't make sense. المعدوم ليس بشيء حتى يوجد. يعني that which doesn't exist is nothing in order for it to be even found. It doesn't exist. إذا لا يمكن أن توجد نفسها بنفسها. So it's impossible to bring itself about into existence. وَإِنْ قُلْتُ وُجِدَتْ صُدْفَةً. And if you say it came by chance, فنقول هذا يستحيل أو يستحيل أيضا. We say this is also impossible. فأنت أيها الجاحد, so you O rejector, هل ما أنتج من الطائرات والصواريخ والسيارات والآلات بأنواعها هل وجد هذا صدفة؟ He says all that which has been manufactured from planes and rockets and cars and machinery with all the different kinds. Did it come by chance? Did it come by coincidence? فيقول لا يمكن أن يكون. He will say no way. No way is going to come by itself. فكذلك هذه الأطيار والجبال والشمس والقمر والنجوم والشجر والجمر والرمال والبحار وغير ذلك لا يمكن أن توجد صدفة أبدا. He says such is the mountains and the sun and the moon and the stars and the trees and the sand and the oceans and what have you. It also cannot come by chance. If these plants didn't come, if these airplanes and whatever came did not come by chance, then how come these came by chance? And which is even a greater creation, the sun, which stands in the middle of Allah, in the middle of the space, continuously giving you on fire, no fuel, no wood, طيب, no means of keeping it on. It just on itself. That or the machine that we have to put gas in and all these things in the oil in order for the car to function, which is a greater creation, which will be probably by chance. A car can come by chance more likely than the sun because of this accuracy in functioning from the time it was created until today. Consistent. يعني subhanAllah. By the will of Allah, of course. But the disbelievers do not understand. طيب. ويقال إن طائفة من السمنية جاءوا إلى أبي حنيفة رحمه الله وهم من أهل الهند فنظروه في إثبات الخالق عز وجل وكان أبو حنيفة من أذكى العلماء فوعدهم أن يأتوا بعد يوم أو يومين فجاءوا قالوا ماذا قلت؟ قال أنا أفكر في سفينة مملوءة من البضائع والأرزاق جاءت تشق عباب الماء حتى أرسلت في الميناء ونزلت الحمولة وذهبت وليس فيها قائد ولا حمالون قالوا تفكر بهذا؟ قال نعم قالوا إذن ليس لك عقل. طيب, I will translate it. The Sheikh said that it was said that a group of people from Samniya, I don't know what that is, they're from Hind, from India. They came to Abu Hanifa, may Allah have mercy on him. Imam Abu Hanifa, you know Imam Abu Hanifa, I don't need to tell you about him. So they tried to debate with him pertaining to the existence of the Creator. And he said Abu Hanifa was among the most intelligent scholars. He was very intellectual, rahimahullah. So he promised him, he said, come back to me in a couple of days, a day or two. So they came to him, they said, so what do you say? He said, I'm thinking about a ship that is full with merchandise. And then it came, all of a sudden it came sailing, you know, splitting the water. Of course, the way the ship will divide the water. And then it came and it parked, you know, at the, whatchamacallit. And then the merchandise started just getting off, being unloaded. And there's no pilot, there's no one sailor, there's no sailor in the boat, and there's no labor people, just like that on its own. They said, "You thinking about that?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You have no brain, man, no brain." He said, "هل يعقل أن سفينة no?" They said, "هل يعقل أن سفينة تأتي بدون قائد وتنزل وتنصرف هذا ليس معقول." They said, "How is it? Is it possible that a ship will come and they will do all this without a sailor, without anything, and then it will finish and leave?" He said, "This is impossible." The Shaykh rahimahullah said, "قال كيف لا تعقلون هذا وتعقلون أن هذه السماوات والشمس والقمر والنجوم والجبال والشجر والدواب والناس كلها بدون صانع فعرفوا أن الرجل خاطبهم بعقولهم وعجزوا عن جوابي هذا أو معناه." He said, "So he said, you do not accept that. Then how do you and you accept the fact that there's the heavens and the sun and the moon and the stars and the mountains and the trees and the animals and people? All of them don't have a manufacturer. No one brought them. No one made them do what they're doing." So the Sheikh said. So they understood that this man is speaking to their intellect. So they were unable to answer him. They were unable to answer him or something along these lines. وقيل لأعرابي من البادية بما عرفت ربك؟ فقال الأثر يدل على المسير والبعرة تدل على البعير، فسماء ذات أبراج وأرض ذات فجاج وبحار ذات أمواج ألا تدل على السميع البصير؟ ما شاء الله. This is rough to translate. It was no problem. It was said to an Arabi. An Arabi is an old school Arab from among those who live in the desert usually, and their language is still sound. طيب, he has not interacted with any other people for the language to change, because once you mix with people you start changing your own language. That's why you find Arabs now, depending on where they are, what country they come from, they speak different Arabic. We don't have a universe. I mean, we have the Nahu if we were all to use it. Otherwise, Lebanese are different than Syrian, different than Palestinian, different than Jordanese, different than Saudis. Because some countries were occupied by Britain and some by France. So the occupation, the people wind up adapting the language and the tongue, and things changed. So an Arabi usually is a person who has not been through all this. He still speaks the pure Arabic language. And this is the reference, by the way, for the grammarians. They refer to these people to prove what the Arabic language is about, because these people have the pure language. Anyways, it was said to him, how do you know your Lord? He said, the trace, if you see the footsteps, indicate that there was someone walking. طيب. والبعرة تدل على البعير. And I guess the بعرة is the صوت البعير يعني.
البعرة خرية الله كمان كان الخرة حق البعير.
Oh. And the no, you don't have to say that word, man. There's another word. There's a word. The technical word is feces. هذه يعني more أيوة هذيك ال
droppings
or the defecate or the feces of the camel indicates that there was a camel there. Of course, he's from the desert, so they speak that language. You know, he's just trying to strike examples for you to understand. I mean, if you see something like that, you know that the camel is there. فَسَمَاءٍ ذَاتُ أَبْرَاجٍ. So I see the heavens with all these planets. You know, the skies with the planets, and the land with the valleys, and the oceans with the waves. He says, doesn't all that indicate that about the all hearing and all seeing? But Allah Azza wa Jal. نعم. ولهذا قال الله عز وجل أم خلقوا من غير شيء أم هم الخالقون. Surah At-Tur, verse 35. Allah says, so were they created of something else, or are they the creators? And the answer is neither one. Not that they were created by someone else other than Allah, and they did not create themselves. Rather, Allah created them. فحينئذ يكون العقل دالا دلالة قطعية على وجود الله. So by that we establish the fact that the intellect inevitably, clearly, without any doubt, indicates the existence of Allah. This is if you didn't get any revelation, you didn't get any, your natural inclination is busted, طيب, and you have no sense of sense. Only you use your brain that Allah gave you should prove to you that there's a God that deserves to be worshipped alone, because He is the one. Otherwise, if there was more than one God, then you will find discrepancy in this world. One day the sun will come from here, the next day it will go from there, because depending on the God, He will have things run according to His power. And the funny thing is, if there was more than one God, then one would have defeated the other one, so the other one can no longer be a God. So you still have one God. But anyways. Yeah. وأما دلالة الحس على وجود الله فإن الإنسان يدعو الله عز وجل يقول يا رب ويدعو بالشيء ثم يستجاب له فيه وهذه دلالة حسية. هو نفسه لم يدعو إلا الله واستجاب الله له، رأى ذلك رأي العين. وكذلك نحن نسمع عمن سبق وعمن في عصرنا أن الله استجاب له. As for the things that are tangible, things that you could see, live, experience, يعني, that's what is intended here, that a person supplicates to Allah, he says, oh my Lord, and he will ask him for something, and then he will be answered. This is something that is يعني, sensed, this is something viewed, this is something experienced. You see this happening to people. He himself didn't call upon anyone but Allah, and Allah answered him. If there was no God, we won't get no answer, man. You keep calling all you want. If things were just by luck, then by luck you can ask for something that's going to come also. It's no longer luck. This is accuracy. Luck is when something just comes out of, you know, unexpectedly. If you just supplicate and you get what you want also out of luck, you came out of luck, you supplicate, you get out of luck, this is impossible. This is impossible. So this is something tangible. You see it. You see someone ask Allah for something and then it happens to them. So the Shaykh said, and we hear from people who came before and people in our time that they supplicate to Allah and Allah answers them regarding something specific, yani. Na'am. فالعربي الذي دخل والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب الناس يوم الجمعة قال هلكت الأموال وانقطعت السبل فادعوا الله يغيثنا قال أنس والله ما في السماء من سحاب ولا قزعة أو قزعة أي قطعة سحاب وما بيننا وبين سلع جبل في المدينة تأتي من جهته السحب من بيت ولا دار وبعد دعاء الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فورا خرجت سحابة مثل الترس وارتفعت في السماء وانتشرت ورعدت وبرقت ونزل المطر فما نزل الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم إلا والمطر يتحادر من لحيته عليه الصلاة والسلام. He says when the Arabi entered while the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was given a khutbah on the day of Jumu'ah, and he said the wealth has been destroyed and the paths are being cut off. Supplicate to Allah so He could give us ighath. Al-hina ghayth is rain, so Allah can give us some rain. And Anas said, I swear by Allah, there wasn't in the sky a single cloud, not even nothing, not even a tiny little bit of a cloud. And we, not from between us and all the way this to a mountain called Sal', yani a long distance. From what he could see, there's absolutely nothing. He said, and after the Prophet ﷺ started supplicating, all of a sudden, from nowhere, a cloud came about, and then it came, and then it started rising in the heavens, and then it spread, and then it did some thunder. There was some thunder and lightning, the whole thing, and then water came down. And I said the Prophet ﷺ did not go off his minbar except that water was dripping off his beard. Yeah. This is from the miracles of the Prophet.
Yani atu matar fi
khutbah al-jum'ah.
Subhanallah.
Yani khutbah al-jum'ah, the man came in while he's giving the khutbah, he said supplicate, the Prophet ﷺ supplicated, while he's supplicating Allah brought the rain. He said, وَهَذَا أَمْرٌ وَاقِعٌ يَدُلُّ عَلَى وُجُودِ الْخَالِقِ دَلَالَةً حِسِّيَةً. He said, this is something realistic that indicates the existence of the Creator in something tangible or experienced. وَفِي الْقُرْآنِ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ هَذَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ هَذَا مثل وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. الأنبياء verses 83, 84, وغير, he says, and in the Quran we have plenty of verses of that sort, such as in Surah Al-Anbiya verse 83, 84, Ayyub as he supplicated to his Lord that harm has touched me and you are the most merciful, then Allah says فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ, so we answered his call, and you know the rest of the story. طيب. So now the Shaykh proved to us from intellect and from his, from things that are experienced and tangible, the existence of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The third category, al-fitra, natural disposition. وَأَمَّا دَلَالَةُ الْفِطْرَةِ فَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ تَنْحَرِفْ فِطَرَهُمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِوُجُودِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى الْبَهَائِمُ الْعُجْمُ تُؤْمِنْ بِوُجُودِ اللَّهِ وقصة النملة التي رويت عن سليمان خرج يستسقي فوجد نملة مستلقية على ظهرها رافعة قوائمها نحو السماء تقول اللهم أنا خلق من خلقك لا تمنع عنا سقياك فقال ارجعوا فقد سقيتم بدعوة غيركم. رافعة.
نعم.
إيه بارك الله فيك.
رافعة القوائم.
مكتوب عندي رافعة مع ضمة. كم سير
تجري رافعة
ايه معنى هذا استغربت ولكن شوف ايه the whole book doesn't have a حركة this one they have a ضمة on it
خطأ رافعة اللغة العربية رافعة
نعم سيدة ظهرها رافعة ايه الله المستعان strange as it is الحمد لله جزاك الله خيرا طيب he says as for the natural inclination he says many people whom natural disposition has not deviated طيب they believe in Allah عز وجل يعني that there's a creator or they may call him superpower or something else along these lines he says even the animals طيب they believe in the existence of Allah and he mentioned the story of the ant that was narrated in this time of Sulaiman عليه الصلاة والسلام that he went out seeking rain and then he found an ant that was lying on its back while her hands were raised to the heavens saying oh Allah I am a creation I'm one of your creation do not deprive us of rain so Sulaiman went back and said to his people go back you have been given rain through the supplication of someone else and he went to do it he found the ant already beat him to it and they got rain through the supplication of the ant and not of Sulaiman I remember the Shaykh rahimahullah or our Shaykh mentioning that this particular athar may be weak this particular hadith may be weak wallahu a'lam so I'm just mentioning this to you so you will know فالفطرة مجبولة على معرفة الله عز وجل وتوحيده so the natural disposition has been naturally you have been taught يعني in your natural disposition to know Allah عز وجل and to make your worship to him exclusive يعني to single him out in worship توحيده single him out in worship وقد أشار الله تعالى إلى ذلك في قوله وإذ أخذ ربك من بني آدم من ظهورهم ذريتهم وأشهدهم على أنفسهم ألست بربكم قالوا بلى شهدنا أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين أو تقولوا إنما أشرك آباؤنا من قبل وكنا ذرية من بعدهم الله عز وجل says in the Quran rough interpretation of the meaning translation of the interpretation of the meaning as much as I can and as your Lord has taken the covenant from the children of Adam from his back and his progeny and he made him bear witness upon themselves am I not your Lord am I not your Lord they said yes you are we bear witness Allah says that you will not say on the day of judgment that verily we were absent minded we were heedless about that we didn't know that you were our Lord or that you will say on the day of judgment that verily it was our forefathers who disbelieved who committed shirk and we were just we just came after them so we basically followed our footsteps basically it's not an excuse if your parents are disbelievers it doesn't mean you remain a disbeliever because from the time we were in the back of our father Adam we have given the covenant that we would bear witness this is the natural inclination that we testify that Allah Azza wa Jalla is our Lord regardless of what our forefathers are upon and we cannot claim on the day of judgment we did not know that because Allah made it part of us no one can deny no human being on earth can deny that it's in him to believe in Allah but people reject Now this is Surah Al-A'raf verse 172 and 173 فهذه الآية تدل على أن الإنسان مجبول بفطرته على شهادته بوجود الله وربوبيته وسواء أقلنا إن الله استخرجهم من ظهر آدم واستشهدهم أو قلنا إن هذا هو ما ركب الله تعالى في فطرهم من الإقرار به فإن الآية تدل على أن الإنسان يعرف ربه بفطرته He says, the Shaykh said, this verse is an indication that the person was created with the understanding of knowing his Lord knowing Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Lordship regardless of how we interpret the verse لبس فضل regardless of how we interpret the verse whether the verse is interpreted by saying that Allah actually took them out of the backs of Adam whether we were taken out of the back of our father Adam and there was a conversation where Allah made us bear witness because some of the scholars say this is the tafsir but they say you don't remember that now but you did that طيب he says whether we use this tafsir or whether the fact that what is intended that Allah Azza wa Jal made that part of our inclination even if we were not taken physically from the backs of our father Adam and we were in a conversation what is intended that Allah had made this part of our يعني our creation that we have this understanding. He says, regardless, this ayah indicates that the person knows his Lord through the natural disposition. هذه أدلة أربعة تدل على وجود الله سبحانه وتعالى. These are four evidences that indicate that Allah عز وجل exists. وأما دلالة الشرع now the fourth one, the legal one, نعم, the legislation. فلأن ما جاءت به الرسل من شرائع الله تعالى المتضمنة لجميع ما يصلح الخلق يدل على أن الذي أرسل بهم أرسل بها رب رحيم حكيم ولا سيما هذا القرآن المجيد الذي أعجز البشر والجن أن يأتوا بمثله أن يأتوا بمثله نعم أو أن يأتوا بمثله أيهما أصح الله أعلم. He says, as for the legal aspect, because that which the messengers have brought and delivered from the legislation of Allah, which is fit for the creation, which is extremely fit for the creation, that it's an indication that the one who has sent it is a Lord that is wise and merciful. Particularly this Quran al-Majid, that has the humans and the jinn have been unable to come up with something like it. This is an indication that Allah exists, because Allah revealed it and no one can do that. If people created themselves, then they should be able to come up with a Quran like that. The fact that they can is indication that Allah is the only creator. They're all interconnected. And we will stop at this particular point, inshallah. This was actually the end of belief in Allah as the first pillar of faith. Next week, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we'll be dealing with the malaika, the belief in angels. It's quite extensive also, and what it entails. طيب هذا وما كان من صواب فبتوفيق من الله عز وجل وما كان من خطأ فمني ومن الشيطان والله بريء منه والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Any questions?
For the legislation, you are giving the example of Quran. Is
revealed
from
that
one? No. Revealed
from Allah, so it shows Allah exists. No. خلاص. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.